Hey guys, welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship podcast. My name is Dustin O'Hara and I'm here with my brother and co-host Devin.
Hello there.
Hello Devin. After Hello, a nice late baseball game, we're here in the studios recording. Yeah. Devin, what do you got for us today?
Technology can be our best friend, and technology can also be the biggest party pooper of our lives. It interrupts our story, interrupts our ability to have a thought or a daydream, to imagine something wonderful, because we're too busy bridging the walk from the cafeteria back to the office on the cell phone. Steven Spielberg.
Yeah, it's a completely different world we live in these days.
It is a dagger. And I mean, for Steven Spielberg to say it, it's definitely true, because he's constantly thinking of ideas and shots and stories and what. So I mean, it like that is his life for sure.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And you know, like, obviously, there's tons of positives and there's tons of negatives in basically everything, you know. But yeah, I mean, it's like I said, it's a different world. It's almost there are some unfortunate things and but I just think they're unavoidable at this point. I don't think there's any way to go back to a less, you know, technology-based lifestyle. You know, we have so much access to like what is right there in front of us all the time, and there's so many different things you can do and see and participate in and be, you know, like be distracted by in multiple ways, good ways, bad ways, that it's not like it's like one thing that people can break a habit of. You know, it's like, okay, I'm playing like my Game Boy. But we could take that away and you're not playing your Game Boy anymore walking down the road, right? But it's like, because it's just one thing. But the phone does everything. It's like social media. It's reading the paper. It's, you know, it's checking up on friends on Facebook. And, and you know, it's everything. It's everything's right there. So it's like to take that away or to try to solve that is solving, you know, multiple dimensions of problems, not just one thing. It's the ease of access, you know.
But the best part from that quote is it interrupts our story.
Right.
Which is so true. It's just we are living, reading about something else, looking at someone else, thinking about someone else, you know, or like, it's so bizarre.
Yeah.
It's really bizarre. And I think I think maybe it can go back to a degree. I did hear that, like, some kids, I mean, you'll know better than that, but, like, some kids who are, like, going, like, looking for old tech and just using that and being like, oh, man, this is weird. All the old people are, like, really weird about this stuff. What if we just went back and, like, did, like, like simple texting and that's it? Like, no videos.
Yeah. That's the thing. I just don't think there's any way it's going to go back, you know, because it's there.
You can't close Pandora's box is what you're saying.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. There's no way. Like people are not we don't have enough self-control to do that. You know what I mean? Well, it's like when you have everything right there.
I think so. Maybe. But I think people are learning. I mean, I've uninstalled a lot of apps off my phone, but maybe that's just an older generation of people. Maybe we can do that. But like I hadn't looked at Facebook in maybe a year, and I had something, Caitlin posted something like for vacation. So I jumped onto the photos because I hadn't seen any of the photos of like me and Maeve. And then it was actually really weird to jump on. And then you could see, I could feel myself getting sucked in. Scrolling through nonsense. And, man, there's so many ads now. Like, you look at one photo, and then there's three ads. And then, like, someone you know, and then, like, another three ads. And then a sponsored. I'm like, ugh, it's gross. Yeah. But I did find out a lot about a lot of people in just a little bit. I'm like, oh, I didn't know they had a baby. oh, what happened here? Oh, look at that. Look at all the
right, exactly. Oh, cool.
But other than that, I was like,
right. So, you know, like, that's the thing. Like, even right, even in within one app, there are positives and negatives. Right. It's like, I want to check up on some people, you know, like, that's cool. You know, see people's successes in their lives and, you know, and then you get an ad and then you get like, you know, something else stupid. Then you have like somebody who just wants to talk about politics and like
drives you off.
So, yeah, I just think it's, because there's so much, you know, it's like everyone is doing a different thing, kind of, you know what I mean? So it's not like everyone's just doing the same thing, like playing Pokemon Go, you know, like. It's like everyone, because that device has everything you could want on it, you know, you're like walking around doing it, all sorts of stuff. So how do you like, I don't know. Yeah. There's not like a solution to it. It's more just how do we adjust and how do you convince people that there are things that are also important other than just the information on the phone. Right. And I think that's what we do. That's what like makers do. I think that's what the community does, although we like post on social media, you know, but it's like, you know, come to the maker camp, you know, come to go to Blade Show, do all these things where there are like, you know, there are people there, but you know, we know about these things because we have access to all these different people online on our phones and, you know, so there's good and bad things.
It's going to be in like 30 years. It's going to be like government regulated communal days. Like, right. All the phones are off. Now that we've studied them for 30 years, we know the damage it's done to society.
Right. Yeah.
You know, people constantly be on their phones. It's like how, you know, they won't sell really large sodas in certain places. Things like that.
Yeah.
It's just gonna be like, oh, you just don't have the option to do it anymore.
Right. Yeah.
You guys took it too far.
Yeah. We realized there's
gonna
you couldn't control it. So
there's going to be some Super Size Me documentary about social media. I mean, there's been a lot of that already.
Right, yeah.
That, like, everyone's like, wow, this person was, like, destroyed by it. And then someone's going to step in. Every Sunday is, you know.
Well, I was.
it's the non-phone day. Like, all phones shut down.
Right, yeah. I was talking to somebody recently about there's a museum called Glenstone, and it's down near DC. It's this big property that has a bunch of different buildings that have artwork in them, and then it has like the property's very well manicured and taken care of with like all sorts of cool, you know, landscaping and things. And then there's big outdoor sculptures from all sorts of, you know, famous artists over the years, and the whole like property, the whole museum going experience is a very controlled experience. Like, they want it to be very much like, I was thinking like when I was talking to my friend, and she was saying that she would really like to go there, but you can't take children. They don't let over a certain age. Mm-hmm. Like, there are no kids allowed because they want an experience, and that's not part of it. You know, like the running around crazy crying. Right. Exactly. But it's like, you come in and they've got like some electric vehicles that will take people around to different places because it's a big property if you need it. And then they have like, when we went, there was the potential for rain that day. So they had all these umbrellas that you could use, and every one was like a black handle with a translucent white top. And so, and they're, everything was the same. So everyone's walking around with like the exact same umbrellas in this like idealistic landscape where everything is controlled, and all the docents, you know, like the people helping the visitors when you come in, like, they don't have name tags because those are distracting. They just have this like metal bar pin, and so like, and they all wear gray, so like if you like want help, and they really want to, they'd rather talk to you than like have you just go from piece to piece and read, so they don't have a lot of like information on the tags. And some of the tags are just like really far away and down low, you know? So it's like, it's very controlled, and it's very much like a, you know, like a dystopian world. And I never really thought about that. I was like, it's so nice. Everything's so perfect, and everything's controlled really nicely. And all the light is nice, and it's all like the stone. And like, I was like, oh, wow, that's kind of crazy. That's like a brave new world, you know?
Right. But they're not restricting anything. What they're trying to do is focus you.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
So
of course
it's really not, they're trying to make the least restrictive.
Yeah.
in kind of a way, while being restrictive.
Right. And you can, like, trying, there's, like, in different buildings, you can't take pictures, you know, so you're, like, not supposed to have your phone out at all. Mm-hmm. Obviously, mm-hmm. there are some buildings that you can. I think that's more just, like, the different collections they have and shows and stuff, you know, they want.
I think that's a great idea. It focuses yeah. you.
Oh,
you
know, no,
you're
yeah.
like, oh, I'm here for this thing.
Yep.
Like, I'm not just, we're not just killing time at another museum.
Yeah.
You know, before lunch.
Right. And they, you like, know, have
we're gonna focus.
Right. And it's, like, this big property where, like, you have to walk from one thing to another. And like, in all of these walking experiences, there are different views that have been very cultivated, you know, and, like, these rolling hills. And there'll be a piece of artwork up on the hill. And then there's, like, you're looking through a bunch of manicured cherry trees. And it's, like, it's super cool. But it's definitely a very controlled experience. They want you to be there, be in the moment. Like, it's awesome.
Where is this?
It's called Glenstone. And it's a free museum. It's down, like, close to Washington, D.C. Yeah. So, yeah, it's a free museum. They have, you basically have to, like, they open up reservations twice a year. So it's, like, January and July. And you know, basically they open up the reservations from January to July in January. So you can kind of go on, you can pick your reservations. And like, when I went with Nicole, and we went with her her MLS group, the Masters of Library Science, which she's doing with University of Baltimore. They had planned a trip there, so we went with them. And then I tried to plan a trip for my students, and it was, like, the only time was Thursday afternoon at 2:40, you know, for, like, and I was like, well, we can't do that because that, you know, I need, like, a whole day. I want to have a whole day trip with them to really experience the whole thing. Because even when Nicole and I went with her group, we didn't have enough time to get around and actually see everything because it was raining.
Are your students old enough?
Yeah. Yeah. They do, like, they do school groups and stuff, but I think, I don't know the age limit. I just know that my friend was like, oh yeah, I love that place, but I can't take children. She was like, who would have thought when you have babies, you can't go to bed and breakfast anymore and you can't go to some museum. She's like, man, that's ridiculous.
I like the idea of them pulling up to a lookout and being like, this piece is called Rolling Hills.
Right. Ooh.
Today, this is nice. Called Sunset Over Rolling Hills.
In a little while, it'll be Stars Over Rolling Hills.
A gray person comes up and changes the tag, like, after lunch.
A gray person. Yeah. But that's that, you know.
Starry that, night that, over yeah. Rolling Hills.
That is, I think, when we were there, you and I were... I think we were about to upload one of our videos, and I can't remember which one it was. And I was, like, trying to do the description and tags and stuff because we wanted to get it out that day. And I was there, and I was, like, outside of one of the buildings, like, trying to find service, like, sitting on a bench. Like, I was like, trying to get this done. And people were just, like, walking around. It's all quiet and, like,
the gray people slowly. You, like, looked up. They were a little bit closer.
The gray, yeah, right. I looked down. I looked back up. They're closer. Like,
right on. You sitting next to you. Can we help you with anything?
Can we have a discussion with you about the looks or the artwork around us? Like,
right.
I'm trying. No. Can I ever meet gray people?
Run. The grays.
But yeah, it was a real, like, you know, a very like whole experience. It was really cool.
Thing. I love it. I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
I want to do it.
But it does like get you out of that thing. But I was just thinking about it as, like, it's funny because it's like a Brave New World type of situation. I was like, oh, this is so nice. Like, everything's so controlled for us, and, like, everything is all the same. And they're like, wait, what is this? What are they doing here? But yeah, no, it was cool. And, you know, but I think that, like, going back to just the technology stuff is, you know, that's that, like you said, like, taking a moment to be in that experience, you know, and, like,
yeah,
like, experience what's around you. Like, don't just, yeah, look at your phone the whole time walking. And I will say that, like, that's one of the things that when you go to Maker Camp and a lot of these bigger, like, Maker events, you have all these people who, like, are social media heavy all the time, always doing stories, always doing, like, reels and always, like, putting up stuff, Instagram shorts. And then they go to these events and it just, like, everything dies. Everything stops because then they're all there together, you know, and everyone's like, oh, nice. We can actually experience this together. And then, like, everyone who doesn't go is like, what's going on? There's nothing happening now. Everyone who's there is just, like, shut down. We want to know. And you're like, sorry. It was kind
of
cool.
You got to be there. Yeah, speaking of, have you done more for your what you're going to do?
For Maker Camp?
Yeah.
So I haven't really planned out much. I have talked to Austin, so I'll be doing 2 1-hour demos and 1 1-hour bow shoot all 3 days. So it'll be like a total of 6 teaching demo-y type thing. Like, I'm trying to think of ways that I can get people to interact, but it may really just be me showing how to do stuff.
You're there working.
Yeah. So that'll be like, yeah. So I was like kind of talking to him and I was like, this is what I'm thinking. You know, I was like 2 hour time sessions and then 1 hour of shooting. I'll do that Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then I told him that I was like happy to camp as well. Cause I'm sure he's got rooms and stuff for his different exhibitors, but you know, I think they're always like a little tight on those things. So yeah. he was very happy when I said that. He was like, you know, I told him what my idea was. He was like, I love it. And then I was like, and I'm also happy, you know, or I was like, this is what I want to work. These are the hours that I'm thinking would be kind of cool. And I was like, and I'm also happy to camp in the field. Like, I'm happy. I'm fine with that. And he was like, excellent and excellent. So he was happy about that. He's like, whew, one of those person I have
on
to
the yard on the lawn for you.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
That'd be great. I'm jealous. Yeah. So I wanted to bring it up because I know a little bit about it and you know a little bit about it. I thought it'd be interesting. People attacking Wrangler Star.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're a much bigger fan and I have,
right.
I mean, I like him and I like his videos. I have nothing against him, but seeing it's weird when you see like a YouTuber get attacked,
right?
It's like, wait, they're not like, why is the Rolling Stone?
Right.
I could take, oh, well, here, I'll give you the title, which is weird. He taught people to make bombs and YouTube is helping him cash in. That's their angle.
That's crazy.
His mounting extremism has gotten him banned from TikTok. But honestly, anybody can get banned from TikTok. Even people just doing knife making can be banned.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I mean, just off. I mean, he's gotten a little bit more like prepper-ish, you know, and like more sensational. But it's ridiculous to try to like take him down as some like right wing extremist who's teaching people to make bombs.
To harm not people. It at all. Right. Exactly. That's, yeah. And that's the thing. Like. So I haven't read the article, but I have watched a couple of his videos right after that came out where he addressed it. And then some of the stuff afterward. And like he always has, or like over the years more and more, has been willing to face on that, you know, when people are criticizing him. Like, he's not worried about it at all. Like, he'll play it up more, you know, because he's like, I can do what I want. Like, I'm allowed to put this stuff here and I'm not doing anything that's hurting anyone. And I'm not like asking other people to hurt anyone. I'm just looking at the situation that's happening in our country. And his own opinion on it is that the things that are happening, he doesn't like the way they're going. And so he's like encouraging people to like think about what's happening around them and maybe make some preparations for if things do go south, like, you know, our you know, shipping food across the country, if that stops, or if, you know, international, like, you know, trade stops, or, you know, all sorts of things. Right. World War III happens, you know, so he's definitely got a prepper mindset. As far as I know, he doesn't have like a bunker, but he has like enough like food stores and stuff to support his family. Like, he's really, I think, and obviously I have a very like positive outlook on Wrangler Star. I've been following him for a long time. So like anything, the more you know about someone, the more you know, right? So like, I've watched him since his son, who is now like 18, was like 6 or 5, you know, and like I watched him be a father and build tree houses and like go on dirt bike rides and just play around with his son and his wife. And then he has his daughter and dogs and, you know, like and normal conversations and helping friends and family out. And, you know, he's like right. over the years showed a lot of like in the winter, he'll always like, he's part of the volunteer fire department where he's got stuff. He'll like, he'll go out and pull people out of ditches and stuff. And, you know, so like, you have to take pretty much anything that you read in one little article about that tries to sum up anyone's whole entire life, with a grain of salt. So, and again, I don't know all the details that, that Rolling Stone were quoting, you know, I don't know everything that they know. So maybe they know some more stuff that I don't know. Like, but I just think, like you said, like that's, it's just weird to like attack someone. And, I think when he like heard about it, he went into like protect my family mode. So he actually went on to his channel and he made his entire channel private as for only members. He like shut it all down. Like that's it. Everything's private. Every single thing, every video he'd ever done, he made it all private.
Because is he still like that?
No, no. So what he did, he said, at that time, one of his neighbors was having a big bar mitzvah party for their son. And there were like people coming from like, you know, Israel and like people coming from all over the world for this like big celebration. And he and his family were helping out. Like they were there to help out. They were going to help with logistics and people were like camping on his property. And so he was helping one of his neighbors for this big party when it all went down. And so he couldn't like deal with it in the moment. And so he went into like shutdown protection mode, like protect my livelihood, protect my family. Like all this is crazy. You know, he has like friends in different armed forces and in like social and services and stuff, police and firemen. And everyone's like calling him and telling him he's got to be like really careful. And, you know, he might like he's got to protect his family. So he went into like very much like safety mode. And then once that event was done, I think it was like a day and a half later, he came back. And he like, that's when I heard him. So that's when he just did a video, a couple minute video, maybe 5 minutes or something, just talking about what had happened, talking about his overreaction of shutting us down. He realized that wasn't right. Like he doesn't have to hide everything he's ever done. There's nothing that in his opinion, he's like, there's nothing that I've done that I need to be ashamed of. So why would I have shut that down? You know,
I do understand, like you're trying to stop the bleeding a little bit, just momentarily.
Mm-hmm,
it's like when people, it's like when something big happens to people, sometimes they just don't talk for 6 months.
Right. Yeah.
And then there's 20 other things to get outraged about. And when they come back, people are kind of like, oh, what's that to that guy? Like, oh, I don't.
Right.
You know, whatever. Like,
and he had said like, Rolling Stone actually reached out to them a couple times and asked them some questions. And like, so they kind of knew that there was going to be an article. But then they just like, and like, again, I haven't read it and I don't know Rolling Stone's perspective, so I can't really talk too much on their end. But from what I've heard through him, it was like, and, you know, just very much like attacking his way of life and his family and a lot of accusations that weren't true and stuff. And so, like, well,
and the weird thing is he is preparing for what seems to be like a big overreach of some type of big tech company or big or maybe big left-leaning thing that he thinks is going to try to take him down.
Right. Yeah. And take away
a big freedom left-leaning publication comes after him and tries to take his stuff away.
Right. So yeah, exactly.
And he's like, oh, okay. That's exactly what I was afraid of.
Right.
and you're just trying to do it. Like it's,
right. They're like proving his point. You know, it's So, and of course, like, you know, like anyone, like I said, I've followed Ringo Starr for a long time. I see him as a person, as a father and a husband and, you know, and an American citizen. And, you know, he's like done a bunch of stuff to help people. I don't think he's perfect. You know, he's got a lot of views that I'm like, it's pushing a little bit far, you know, like that's a little bit too negative in my book or something, you know, like I'm obviously not a very political person. And so, you know, when he like really starts leaning into it, I'm a little bit like, you know, But I will say that like he is not affiliated with any what he think like he doesn't affiliate himself with any specific side. You know, obviously it makes more sense. Of course, he's more right wing, but he is very like, I'm going to do these. I like these people because of these reasons. I don't like these other people because of these other reasons. And they're very, you know, he's also very outspoken about how he doesn't like organized religion, but he's also very much a Christian, you know? So like I think he's an independent thinker.
Yeah.
He doesn't really tries not to align himself specifically to any one thing. He's just, this is who I am, and this is why I'm doing these things, and this is what I think. And he's got the platform to put his opinion out there as much as he wants.
Right. And he knows, just like anyone else, there's nothing wrong, or it's actually to your benefit if you take strong, bold views on things.
Right. Yeah.
'Cause it's just like any entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
People are going to respond mm-hmm. and write back and want to watch more because he's like, he's being a little extra.
Right.
It's like, hey, these are my thoughts on things. And because I'm on YouTube, I'm going to bump it up 20%.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And like I said before, like he's definitely willing to push back and make it more obvious that he's like doing a thing. You know, when people are like, you know, in the comments, give him a bunch of, you know, crap about something. And he's like, okay, I'll just amp it up. You know, I'll even be even more. Like one of his things he always jokes about is East Coast men versus West Coast men. How he's West Coast is all like super awesome and East Coast is like trash. And of course, like that's, you know, and he said it before. He's like, it's a joke, you know, like it was a joke that started at one point and I'm just playing with the joke. Like I'm from the West Coast. So I'm like playing up the West Coast thing, you know? And then he'll be like, oh, well, people in this town, in this city are definitely like honorary West Coast, you know, like up at in Connecticut or something. Like, so, but then he always drops like, oh, that must be an East Coast thing or, you know, like all the East Coast guys, blah, 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 blah. And people get so up in arms about it. And so he just keeps on pushing it, right? Because it's just building like content and comments and like,
yeah.
He's like, if you're going to like get super offended by something I say, you know, that shouldn't offend anyone, then fine. I'll just keep on saying it. It's just going to build up more, like, you know, more drama, and it's going to, you know, help his channel. So.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think, like, Rolling Stone writing about your channel
is
probably only a positive because, I mean, if you're a certain way and you listen to everything a certain publication says, you probably weren't going to watch his channel anyway.
It
probably wasn't for you.
Right, yeah.
So it's not like you're going to turn any, like, of those type of people away from him because of your article.
Right.
You're just going to like inform people who weren't going to watch him anyway of like, oh yeah, he's this thing that you think he is. He's a nut. Like don't even pay attention to him. He's like a weird extremist nut. You don't want to like, okay, yeah, we don't like that stuff anyway.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
They probably don't want to hear all about guns and stuff and food prep and like that.
Right.
That, you know, they're probably not into that. Yeah. That's fine.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
So yeah, it's probably only positive because then people like the fans of his like stick up a little bit more and want to hear what he has to say and want to watch his videos. Like, I think it's only a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, of course, there's like in his perspective when it first happened, it was like all sorts of like slander and stuff. And they're basically like, you know, he was, like I said, he was protecting the welfare of his family, whether that's like financially and or, you know, physically, if people were threatening their lives and all this stuff, you know. So that was his first reaction, which is what your reaction should be when someone is attacking you know, like, and then, but after that, he's like, I've never put anything on here that I'm ashamed of or that I don't think is, you know, that is harmful to people. Like, that's not what I've done. Like, I stick behind everything I've ever said on here, you know, so I don't need to shut it all down. So,
yeah. And it's, I mean, I guess in his mind, that's a problem with YouTube.
Yeah.
You're a partner, but you're not a partner. You are at the whim of whatever they want to do.
Right.
So they could shut him down in no time. They could dig up some strikes against him.
Right. Yeah.
And just said this, you said that. There's a couple gun things you did. Like, you talked about how you didn't like some government thing here and there. It's like, okay, that's like three strikes right away.
Yeah.
And then it is, then they can take away everything.
Right. And what are you going to do? Sue them? You know, like.
It doesn't, it's like, yeah, no, this isn't a thing. We can let you go at any time. You're not your own business.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
You're in business with Google.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, so
they didn't do that, and TikTok, no. It's probably better off, you know.
Yeah.
Dumb TikTok.
Yeah, so it's all just kind of, yeah, I don't know. I like it was interesting, and he does a daily live stream, which he started doing about, I would say, maybe within the last 8 months or so, which is not my favorite thing. Like, I like his content. And actually, for a while, for 3, 4, 5 months, it was like that was all he was doing, was just daily live streams. And then he would...
And weird shorts.
And cut it up. Lots of shorts, and then he would cut up from the live streams, and he would, like, I talked about this thing. Similar to what, like, Adam Savage does when he's, like, he does his, right. like, member things, and then he'll put those out. So, like, he was doing that type of thing, which is fine. And of course it's fine. It doesn't matter. You can do whatever you want. But for me, as a fan of like his videos of him making things and doing things, like that's what I want to see. You know, I want to see the modern homesteading thing, the professional homeowner stuff that he always talks about. Like, I love that stuff. And then like a month ago, he started this project where he's doing a 1940s elk hunting camp thing. He's kind of rebuilding it on his property, so it's like a canvas wall tent.
Oh, that's
like
right. Yeah, nice.
Made a table, and he built this bench, and he brought his anvil down, and you know, and he's like doing all this cool stuff, and so he's been showing that, like, these, you know, upwards of like 10 to 12 minute videos of all the different steps and processes, which I just think is awesome. Like, I love that content from him, and you know, and I'm just happy to like watch that. And of course, like, he's got all his inside jokes, and it's all the stuff that I've known for years and years. So it's just like getting a glimpse into the life of someone that I've been following for a long time, you know. And like, his son just went to two back-to-back, his first two wildfire fights. Like, he's a firefighter now. And so he's like did two in a row, and you know, like, it's just crazy seeing like someone's life like that. You know, he shows a lot of his life,
right.
You know, it's a lot of what they do. So. But yeah,
two things. Speaking of people who aren't making normal content are doing shorts. That's us right now.
Yeah. Right.
And then another thing is, I was thinking as you're talking about it, like, I know like 2 years ago, he was talking about making a camp and having people come up.
Yeah. Right.
And having that plot of land that they bought to have people over, you know?
Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And how much fun that would be to go to, but also my idea of him, he takes such strong stances,
right,
is that I would be nervous, not that I'm like his biggest fan or starstruck, I would be nervous to say something wrong. It would feel like he'd be the type of guy to write you off. Not that he necessarily is, but if he didn't like opinion you had about something, or because he does, he'll take he'll take strong stances, like,
right, yeah,
he'll do the East Coast West Coast thing, yeah. Be like, oh, that guy should have had this in his truck, and
right,
how can you even ride around with a truck without that? And he like,
yeah,
that's also his thing. But I'd feel like everything I said was like, was that like,
right,
is that good enough? I don't know what that tool is. Is that all right?
Like, right. Like,
I don't have that thing in the back of my truck.
Yeah,
it'd be interesting. I feel like feel like everyone would start out walking on shells a little bit. Mm. But what can you do really to connect with someone like that in a big event? Because everyone wants to. It's his event.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Everyone wants to sit down with you and.
Well, it's like, yeah, you go to Maker Camp.
Have a real conversation.
Yeah, and, like, that's, you know, quote-unquote, like, Jimmy DiResta's event. You know, like, he helped to push it, get it started. It's in East Durham. Obviously, it's, you know, it's Austin's event at the Blackthorn, but, you know, and something Austin wanted for a long time, but he, you know, he and Jimmy were the ones who really pushed it, and it's because of Jimmy's, like, outreach that got it going, you know, for that. So it's like, you know, you go to those events, and there's all the, like, the top guys who everyone wants to talk to because they're the ones with the most followers and the ones that we've all watched for years and years and years. And, you know, you got to be that person that it's like, you know, it's just, you know, yeah, it's.
You just get little bits and time with people.
Right. Yeah.
Especially those people because they also have their own stuff they have to do and get to.
Right. Yeah.
And they have their own groups of friends who they want to talk to.
Right. Yeah.
It's like most of us aren't in their groups of friends.
Right.
Yeah. So you have to give them space just like you would hope someone would give you space. Like,
right, exactly. Yeah,
we'll talk a little bit, but I said I'd come and see this person.
Yeah, right.
That I know well and I've known for years and I've spent, you know, time with.
Right.
I would be, I don't know, it's good for your ego, but like bad for just, I feel like it'd be exhausting.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree.
Walking around, everyone's looking at you. Everyone's trying to get a little something from you.
Yeah.
Trying to grab it, get a little piece off you, you know?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah, no, it's, yeah, that's tough. Yeah. That's a weird, a weird perspective. That's a weird, you know, spot to be in as like the host of it, basically the host of an event that has, you know, almost 1,000 people. And everyone knows you know, and like,
it's like a Comic-Con thing, but instead of you being up on a stage talking and then, you know, kind of disappearing into your hotel room, he's still there.
Right. Yeah.
He's walking around the floor. Right. He's doing things. He's like, so it's totally different. Okay. So you've been doing a lot of shorts because summer is the worst for us.
I know. I'm always like, summer's going to be great. We're going to shoot more video and stuff. And then
with every beginning of the summer, we forget what happened last summer where we don't do shit.
Yeah. Right. It's cause we, you know, it's like, that's the time where, well, obviously there's baseball, right? So baseball is in full swing. And then I also sail, you know, that's like half the year anyway, or three quarters of the year. And then we both have family vacations. You know, it's like there's always any something.
It's just the free time's just not there.
Right.
And we do have a video. I haven't done anything else with it. I apologize.
We got to get that out because that's a
sponsor. Someone gave you something.
Yeah, right. But
well, they shouldn't have gave you something for free. No. No, we said we did, and it's there, and it's very it's a very positive and fun video that will come out.
Yep. Yep.
But man, it's like every free. I went to the beach for a week, and now I'm struggling to get this. I mean, the baby is due in like a month.
Holy cow! That's
5 weeks, 6 weeks max. You know, jeez. So it's like, I got my wall behind here. We just finished kind of mudding the, you know, and we moved the one of the vents. You know, in the HVAC unit to the other side, to the other part of the room, and we just cut off the water to the sink that's still in the baby's room. You know, it's just nothing's done in there. But I think now, after today, we're ready to paint.
Right.
But the walls, you know, everything's a mess, and we're going to get carpet and stuff, and it's just crazy. That's like every spare moment. We have so much to do. Right. We haven't built any of the furniture. We haven't even bought the furniture for the kid. So it's just,
busy time.
Yeah. And then we went. Yeah, we went to the beach for the week, which was nice, but it was like the worst timing. We both had kind of like a week off. We could have used that to get a lot done, but instead we went down to North Carolina. Splash around the waves, which was nice, but we're just like thinking, oh man, we got to get this done and that done.
My mother-in-law said she had listened to that podcast, the last one we did, where you were talking about like all the stuff, you know, carrying it all over the dunes, setting everything up. She was laughing. She was like, it was so good. Cause she said she's recently retired in April. And so now she does a bunch of walking and stuff. And so she'll usually listen to podcasts and things while she's walking. And so she'll often like listen to our podcast. It's just fun. So hi, Betsy.
Well, it was true. I did all the same stuff.
Yeah.
I will say the brother-in-law bought a lighter, not one of the 10x10s that, you know, you normally take.
Yeah, yep.
He has like a lighter version, which was much better because that thing alone is like 30 pounds. You got to put in the cart.
Right. Yeah. I saw a picture and it looked like what we talked about. Like if you would have the tent poles that bend in like a normal pop-up tent and have something like that. That's like a structure above it. Was that kind of what it was?
Well, it's like a super sized umbrella.
Okay.
And instead of being round, you know, it goes out in four directions. It's a square, cabana style.
Okay.
And then the cloth comes straight off those corners, straight down, and you fill those corners with sand.
Okay.
So, you know, they've been doing a lot of those, like, fill it with sand things.
Yeah, right.
But it's just like an oversized 8 foot to 10 foot umbrella, a little bit stronger.
Okay.
And you just center it. It's actually nicely made where the spike that goes in can also be the part that the umbrella part that attaches to it is also a like hammer.
Oh,
that
nice. Slot,
that slides. You know what I mean? So it's like,
shkink. Nice. So you
use that part.
Yeah, sliding bing, bing. Hammer. That's cool.
And then you attach it, and then, but it comes, goes up in like, you know, like 4 minutes.
Right. Yeah. That's
and it wasn't enough for all of us, but right. if we get another one.
Yeah.
I think it's called Cool Cabanas. That's the original one.
Nice.
And, well, that was nice. So the little less weight, but it was still like, yeah, you go, everyone's up, everyone like gets breakfast, and it's like the constant with toddlers. Like,
yeah.
All right, who's organizing this? Who's make? What are we having for breakfast? Okay, let's get breakfast. All right, let's get everything on. Let's get you sprayed down. Let's get snacks. Let's get snacks. Okay, we got snacks. Are we doing lunch? All right, lunch packed up. Are we gonna pack some drinks? Okay, pack. You got the drinks. I got this. Meet you all downstairs in 10 minutes. All right.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Load the carts up. Which cart are you taking? All right, I got this cart. Let's head out. Where's the kids? You got the kid? Okay, we're good. It sounds too hot. Let's get there. Let's set up. Who's not helping? Okay, you set up. The kid wants to go down. All right, I'll go to the water. You set up. I'll be at the water. And then I'll come back and I'll set the chairs up. Who wants the shade? You got enough shade? Caitlin, get some shade. You're pregnant. Old people, get in the shade. You're fine. I'll sit in the sun like an animal. That's okay. I got my big hat on.
Yeah, right.
And then it usually ends with me sitting by myself for like 10 minutes in the water with my feet in the water, you know, just to like, and with like a beer, like a Twisted Tea or something. Just like, I need a minute. And then I come back and get Maeve, and then we all play in the water. And then, you know, in 30 minutes you head back because you got stuff to do.
Oh, man, that's great. It's so, that's so like a National Lampoon's, you know, comedics bit. Like, that's exactly what they do. They like the whole like dad with all the stuff and getting everything ready. Yeah. Man, that's great. Home Alone, you know, it's all that same thing.
But, I mean, it was, the house was awesome, and it's right on the thing, you know, and we all, you know, you didn't have to go far, and comparatively.
Yeah.
And we had our own pool, which was awesome. So a few days we just didn't go out.
Right. Like, yep.
Hey, let's all, like, everyone's just sitting around. You just want to go to the pool? Well, yeah, let's just go down to the pool. And you just walk down. Everything's there. You know, it's so much easier.
It's still pool day.
You can just float around in the water. But it was nice.
I did see that that fun like slow motion of Maeve jumping in the pool too.
Yeah. Oh yeah, she was killing. She constantly over and over jumping.
Does she have on? Was she wearing like a puddle jumper floaty or whatever? Is that what it was? What was she wearing?
I guess that's what it's called. Yeah, it goes over your arms, and then you have a connecting floaty from both of your arms on your chest
across the chest. Yeah, and then it buckles in the back. Yep,
which is the best because it's the best keeps one. Them, like, they're like lean forward, you know, and their heads don't go, you know, it's like, it's really good. So she was doing that.
And she's good at like swimming around with that on and all. Like,
yeah, I mean, she learned this year.
That's great.
Like, at first she wasn't like, she was just kind of freaking out a little bit.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I was like, come on, kick your legs. And by the end, she's like all by herself.
Nice. That's great.
Going around and kicking and swimming around and like climbing up stuff. And
When Kryn was little, I feel like that just came out around that time, or at least that's when I saw it. Obviously, that's when I was looking for something. But yeah, that was like the best one. I was like, this is the best floaty. And that's like, we had it. We passed it down to other people. And now, you know, Kate and Sean's son, Alistair, he uses that. Same thing. Just like, it's such a good floaty. Like the way they designed it, it works so well, you know?
Right. Yeah.
But.
And it can't fly off your arms like water wings.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Nice. So anything else specific like crazy happen or interesting happen down at the beach?
Not really. I mean, we took the bikes. Yeah. I took the e-bikes down.
Yeah, that's cool.
Which was really nice. Caitlin and I took a couple rides, just her and I.
Nice.
And those were some of the best times, just us cruising around, like looking at stuff.
Yep.
Like, oh, look at those houses. That's the great thing about, I mean, bikes in general, but e-bikes, you just feel like you're on little mopeds.
Right, yeah.
So it's just like you're cruising around the neighborhood. Oh, let's turn down here. Oh, this is like a little bay back here. Oh, they got a cool bridge. Let's drive over the ride over the bridge. Yeah. Like look around. And, we went and got like we were on Avon, and they have a food line down there. So we went random once and got like groceries for everyone because I just put it all in paper bags and threw it on the back of my bike.
Nice.
And that was nice. It's like I don't know how far away it is. It's miles for sure.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But we you know, just biked down.
Yeah, with the full charge e-bike, that's nothing.
Oh, yeah, that's easy. We could have done it 10 times.
Yeah, that's sweet.
It's fun, man. It just, yeah, they're definitely worth the hassle of packing them up and getting the bike hitch super, thing. And,
yeah, right.
And we bought a car top carrier because, you know, you had the audacity to use your own when we wanted it.
The nerve.
But I'm glad we did. We got one on Amazon. So
nice, awesome.
It's fine, and we were fully kitted out. The RAV4 was loaded up, bikes on the back, car top carry on the top, full in the car. It was that brings me joy.
What'd you guys do with Alfie?
I stayed with mom and dad.
Oh, okay, yeah,
for the week, and then did you hear? They're like. On the way home, or no, dad comes, gets Alfie.
Right.
And on the drive back, he's like, wait, you're coming back Saturday? And he's like, we leave for vacation Friday.
Yep.
I was like, okay. What are you going to do with him then? Because we're not coming back. You already have him.
Yeah.
It's right. On you now.
So what did they do? Because they were with us on Friday.
No dog.
No.
But at first, they're like, oh, maybe we'll kennel him or something. I'm like, well, that's expensive, and I don't even know where, like, you need papers and stuff for that stuff. Right. They won't just take any old dog.
Yeah, right. We're dropping this dog off. Someone else is going
to
pick it up.
Yeah, no. Right. Like, they need all the stuff to make sure he's,
it's got all shots and everything. Yeah, right. Yeah.
So I got Guy to do it.
Oh, nice. Okay.
I guilted Guy to take him. It's like, if you don't take him, he's going in a kennel. He's like, all right, give me the your earmuffs, everybody. His exact words were, all right, give me the fucking dog.
That's great. Yeah, so it's funny. So transitioning into my vacations, so we, 5 or 6 months ago, Nicole planned her own birthday weekend, thank goodness, because she likes planning stuff like that, and and so she turned 40 on the 18th. I know, and so that was Friday. So we went up to Ohio to there's a private campground called Benner's Run, but it's in Ohio Pile, Pennsylvania, which is like out toward Pittsburgh, but not all the way out that way, toward I guess out near New Paris, like near where Adrian from Hickory Homestead Creations lives. So we headed out that way and went out on Friday, and then we're there. I left on Sunday evening because I had work this week, because my first week back, teachers all back, and the next week is students. So I came back on Sunday, and then Nicole and our, and Corinne and our friends Kate and Sean are their boys, and then mom and dad, and then Nicole's parents Betsy and Dave, they came down as well, and they all stayed through till Wednesday. But it was awesome. It's like a beautiful little campground. We had a kind of odd setup because Kate and Sean rented the house that's there at the campground. They have like this like kind of log cabin lodge. And they wanted that to be able to have like the rooms for the boys, and they have their dog, and they wanted a little bit more like the convenience with like Alistair being 3 and Emery, he would be old enough. But, and then mom and dad brought their camper. We originally thought they would take the pop-up camper, but then when we opened it up, it was not suitable for camping in. So we were on an electric site, but we had our tent and, normal tent set up. And then, Nicole's parents, they stayed in a yurt, which was right across from our campsite. Mom and dad were about 4 campsites down from us. And then our friends, Bill and Andrew, they also came, and they were in another yurt right across from us as well. So we had kind of the main group kind of close. And then our friends, the Greens, were in another, just a regular campsite, but they were down maybe 75 yards from us. So it was like a little spread out, but like we were all pretty close, but then Kate and Sean, and you know, they were up maybe, you know, 300 or 400 yards. Like, you had to walk around a pond and up a road and then up to their house. So the setup was not great, but it was a really cool campground. They had like a little miniature golf course there. They had an arcade. They had a pool. So it had all this like kind of nice amenities to do stuff at the camp. But then nearby, in Ohiopyle, is the Yakagane River, which is a very like famous whitewater rafting river. So we went whitewater rafting on Saturday, which I had never done before, and it was awesome. Super fun. We had, I think it was like 13 of us, I guess, that all went, and it was like 7 guys and 6 girls. So we actually divided into 2 boats, men and women. And there were, I think maybe like 8 or 10 boats all going down the river together. Like, so the guided trip that day, you know, you have a bunch of different groups and people. So it was a bunch of different, a bunch of boats, with each boat had a guide and then plus a group of people. So the rapids were anywhere from obviously like class ones, like little rapids, all the way up to class fours. They had 2 class 4 rapids, and then there were like obviously a lot of class threes and then a few class twos as well. But the class, you know, those are like, those are all situations. A lot of the rapids were technical. So you'd kind of be coming down the river and you'd have to like go over to one side and then make a turn and go through it in a certain way and then make another turn in the middle of it. You know, so there were like these kind of, you had to navigate through it, and that's kind of what would push the level up to make it a little bit more difficult. So then like the class fours were where they had more dangerous aspects, like a rock with an overhang where there was water going underneath of it, you know? So like if your boat got pulled in, it could like flip your boat sideways and pull you like around and stuff. And, or there'd be like a sharp turn. You had to sharp turn and then it would go down, you know, into a dip and then pop up and go around a rock, you know? So it was definitely a lot of, our main guy, the way he described it in the beginning was like, you know, each boat has the group that's there, you know, on tour and the tour, and then you have your guide, your river guide, who's steering the boat. So he said like all the visitors are the motor and the guide is the rudder, you know, he's the tiller. So like so that's all you're like, you're basically just giving him the power he needs to steer the boat in the right direction and like turn it, you know. So like if the water is trying to turn the boat and he couldn't just turn it, then he would be like, you know, everybody on the left side back, you know, back one, and everybody on the right side go forward one, right? And then I would like turn the boat, or it'd be like all forward, you know, or like everyone take 2 strokes forward or 1 stroke, like. But our guide was like so laid back, like really easygoing. He like talked us through the stuff, and you know, like all the guides are that way because they do it all the time, you know. They're like so used to it and they're used to talking to people. And one of the things that I think they teach the guides to do is they'll give you like a direction to be like, all right, everyone, you know, like everyone paddle forward, right? Or everyone forward. So everyone's paddling forward at the same time and you try to like keep all your strokes even. And like, I feel like the longest amount of paddling I might've done was like 5 strokes at one time. It's like, all right, everyone forward. And you stop. You're like, okay. All right. Now everyone like 1 forward or like everyone 1 back, you know, like to slow you down or whatever. And then they would always say like, all right, everyone forward, you know, forward, like a little bit more, like forward fast. And then they go, all right, take a break. So it was always like, take a break. It was like, all right, everyone 2 paddles forward. All right, take a break. You know, so and you hear other like guides, other boats be like, take a break. It was like a very easy way, but like, oh, okay, we're just floating now. He's like, I'll handle it now. You guys take a break. Just chill out. So it was awesome. It was like so much fun. And, you know, like, a good amount of adrenaline, you know, because there are some like stuff where it's like you gotta really try hard and the water's crazy and you're getting, and I was up in the front, so I was getting like all the giant splashes and stuff, you know, like slam. But no, it was great. We had a great time. So much fun.
My experience was much different than that.
Your white water rafting experience?
Yeah, we went white water rafting in West Virginia with a bachelor party.
Ah, there was a bachelor party there.
Before we went, they were hemming and hawing over whether they should let people even on the water. And I'll say going forward, you know, you don't know how much they're messing with you.
Right.
Or a guide, a male guide would mess with a male bachelor party.
Right, yeah.
But I will say that halfway through, we were supposed to stop at a beach and have lunch.
Right.
And there was no beach. He said, he's like, you see where those trees are? There were just trees sticking up out of the water.
Right.
He's like, that's where the beach, we're not, we can't stop. And it was so, like, there was a lot of spots, you know, where you see it that's so rough. Like, I remember passing a few spots that were, like, something was stuck in it.
Right, yeah.
So, like, a log was just rolling endlessly.
Yeah.
And me, you know, just thinking. And he would point them out and say, yeah, that's death if you fall in there. He kept pointing out things.
Jeez.
And saying, like, thanks. That's death. But then you think about it, you're like, you're right. It is spinning that thing around. It's not spinning it out.
Yeah.
It is turning you over and over until who knows when the next group of people come. Because you can't swim out and be grabbed.
Right.
You're stuck.
Yeah.
So it's all these things.
Yeah, you think you can, like, kick out of it or whatever, but it's flipping you around. Like, you might be able to, like, kick out and maybe randomly and hit the rock and kick off of it, but it's pure luck, you know? Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of that, and it was really big. I felt like we were going straight up a lot of big waves.
Right, jeez.
I was also in the front, but I was getting hit hard, like...
Yeah.
It knocked me back into the boat multiple times.
Yeah.
You know, being on the front. And so maybe I was taking more abuse than the rest of the people because, you know, you're on the front, you're taking the hits.
Yep. Yeah.
But it was big enough hits where you had no choice but to, like, fly backwards.
Right. And yeah, exactly.
Scramble back up. Or back up, everyone. Come on, come on. You know, let's go.
Paddle.
It's all that, like, trying to get up and over stuff. And then, like, by the end, I was like, It was like 30 minutes in. I was just like, this has to end now.
Yeah, right.
I'm like, I'm over. I'm way over this. Like, I was excited to do it, not afraid at all. Maybe too much.
Yeah.
I was like, this will be cool. We're just going for a cruise and, like, hit some rapids and go fast, you know.
Yeah.
But I wasn't, I don't know. I guess I wasn't expecting the getting knocked down. And then also, like, man, I'm just sitting on the edge of this boat. If I fall in certain spots... It's trouble.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like, oh man.
Yeah. Well, the kind of crazy thing about, or I think about most places that have rapids is that the, depending on the water level, you get different types of rapids, right? So like where, when we went, the water was really low. So it was like maybe, I think he said like a foot and a half or something, but I don't know what that is. And, you know, cause obviously some places it was a lot deeper than a foot and a half, but whatever, wherever they do a rating, you know, it's like 0 to 8 or whatever, you know, we were at like 1.5 or something, where like 8 might actually not be all that bad because then the water's just riding right over all the rocks and you're just up on top. You know, but when it's down at like a 2 or 3, then you have all these big, huge boulders exposed, and then you got to go around them, and then you get all these like dips and waves, and you know, like, so, and obviously, you know, different, like that's what they said. It was like very much a different water levels denote different ways that they handle the river. You know, so where there was like the 2 class 4 rapids that we went through might only be a class 3 if it was up 3 feet higher, you know, so, but because it was low, so we had to go around things. And then that made like real, like, you know, where the water would go under that rock, but because the water level was right at the, where the water was being pulled under, it would, if you got too tight to it, it could flip your boat up on the side. And then you can kind of counterbalance that, but everyone like goes on one side, or you all fall out and then you like get washed down the river, you know? So like there are definitely some spots. And, my friend Brian's son, David, he was on our boat, and he's like, he's a very like question. He wants to know a lot of stuff all the time, and he's not afraid to ask. So his whole thing was like, okay, what's coming up next? Like, are we going to go around this? Like, what's, do we, how many more class 3s do we have? Is the next one as dangerous as the last one? Is the class 4? Like, they were very, he never sounded scared, but he was like, you could tell that he wanted to know the information. So he had it, you know, it was like information is better than no information, because he wanted to know what was coming, you know. Like, and so he was just constantly asking questions, and our guide was like super good. He was answering them all and like being really good about it, and it was fun. But it was and I was actually talking to Sean, who was in our boat on Wednesday when we were going to sailing, and he was saying that he was thinking about maybe going back up, because they have 3 parts of the Yakagane that they raft on. There's the upper Yakagane, the middle, and the lower. And what we did was the lower, and it's about 3.5 hours. It might have been somewhere between like 20 and 25 or 15 and 25 rapids, you know, like over that amount of time. So there are a few times where you have like a few minutes break, like 3 or 4 minutes where you're just kind of cruising and everyone just relaxing and the boats kind of regroup. And then you come through a couple rapids and, you know, it's kind of, it was a nice paced thing. But, the middle Yakagane is what they say. It's like, that's the one for like grandparents and children. It's basically like 2 hours of just floating down a river. Like you might get class one, just little bumps and stuff here, but nothing that whatever, like, you know, there's, you know, you're not getting hit, banged into things. The water pace is slow. It's just like, it's basically like a tubing, you know, like everyone's just chilling, hanging nice. The upper Yakagane is all the class four and fives. And that's like, they do it with smaller groups and it's like, you know, wild. They said the two class fours, those that we did, were like the easiest class fours on the upper Yakagane. And Sean was saying how he was like, they thought it might be cool to go back up and try to do the upper. And I was like, nope. Like, right. Do you wanna push it? I don't think so. Yeah. I was like, no, I like the adrenaline. I liked what we did. That was fun. But like, I don't really think I would be all that. Like, there were definitely times on what we did where I was more worried about surviving than having fun, you know, for like a few seconds, you know, like, okay, everyone paddle, you know, and like that amount of adrenaline is okay. But you know, like I'm also like, I guess I'm a cautious person, you know, like I don't want to take unnecessary risks. And you know, some of those, like going to do the fours and fives, I'm sure would be fine because you have guides that do it all the time and they're super familiar with it. But like, I don't need that type of adrenaline. I'm not excited about that, you know? And
I feel the exact, I mean, that's, like I said, we like that stuff, but it's, I guess it's a different, like doing some mountain biking with like a few quick hills and drops. And then it's like, you can mountain bike like straight down this like pebbly rocky slope. Like that's going to be awesome. You're like, yeah. But it's like you're too worried about not dying.
Yeah.
It's like there's too much worry. It's not the fun. Like, it's not like the woo fun. It's like,
yeah,
it's like you're clenched up. You're dead quiet because you're like focusing so hard on not crashing.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
No. Yeah, it was. Mine was intense. I don't know what class it was. They kept calling it big water, stuff like that.
Right.
And I think it seemed to me that it was. It was definitely more intense than I thought it would be. And I was like looking forward to some intensity.
Right.
But it was for a while there, for like a half an hour, it was the boat diving deep into whatever. And then the water churning above your head and you going straight up like over and over and over and over again.
Oh man.
You know, and me getting slammed, fall back, like get up, help people up, and then again, paddle, go, go, like, you know, and just like, I give me the old lady cruise now. I think I just want to cruise and then have lunch on the shore.
Yeah, right.
Actually, I think I just want a tube. I like tubing.
Yeah.
Like I want a cooler and a tube, really.
Like, you know, I've done rapids before. I've done a couple class threes in a canoe. Like we did the New River a couple summers ago and you know, that's some big water, but the canoes are way less buoyant than a raft, right? Cause you have these big giant inner tubes basically. So they're sitting really high up in the water. Right. So I definitely felt much more confident doing it with a guide and in a raft and, you know, like it was really fun and I would do it again, no problem. But I wouldn't want to, like, I don't have any real desire to go further than that, you know?
To bump it up.
Yeah, exactly. And like, going back a second time to the same place, like, I understand the length of the trip and where the big rapids are and where the small ones are. And so, like, now even doing it once, like, okay, it's no big deal. We've already gone through it one time. Like, you could do it again, but... I don't need to go crazy on that. It was fun. It was great. We had a great time. One of the guys that was in our boat, Jack, excuse me, he's like 11 or 12, I think. My buddy, Bill's son, he fell out of the boat in the first rapid, in the first one that we went through. And like, right. So, and we had preparation for that, you know, beforehand. They're like, okay, if you fall out, this is what happens. There's going to be lots of people around. Like they said, the first thing you do is if you fall out, you've got handles all around the side of the boat. Your first thing is to grab a handle, right? Cause yeah. Your first thing is you don't want to float away from the boat. Your second thing is if you can't grab a handle, then everyone has paddles and everyone puts their paddle out toward you and you grab a paddle and they bring you back. Right. The third thing is, okay, if that doesn't happen, then you look around and there's going to be other guides and other boats, lots around you, and they all have throw ropes and they're going to throw you a rope and you grab onto it and they'll pull you in. You know, if that doesn't happen, then, and you're floating away and they can't reach you, then there's periodically along the way, there are guides on shore who will throw you a rope and get you up. And then like, if it's a long time before that and there's no one around, then last thing you do is they say nose and toes. You just like float on your back with your toes up and your nose up and you just keep floating until you get to a point where someone does pick you up. And, you know, like I said, there are groups of rapids that whole way through, but they're not back to back. Everyone has like some space between it, you know? So if you fall out of a boat in a rapid, you're likely that you'll float out of it. And then you have 100 yards, 200 yards, 300 yards before the next rapid, you know, so you could, by that point you could swim to shore or, you know, whatever. So, but yeah, Jack, he falls out the first rapid and, he did, we saw him going and he was right across the boat from me. So I like leaned out and he had already kind of grabbed onto the handle and my father-in-law Dave was sitting next to me in the front. So he like grabbed him and I grabbed him and we like yanked him back up on the boat and he lost one of his Crocs and it was like floating down river. And then we see one of their boats like down, you know, 50 yards and they're like holding up a pink Croc and we're like, yeah, that's ours. Oh, nice. Like, yeah. But that was the only time anyone fell out. You know, I think it was just like, he wasn't used to how he should have his feet tucked in, you know, and like, and the situation, but he just kind of like got a bump and whoop, went right over the side. So
you talking about all the different techniques reminded me of another thing that scared us all.
Oh yeah.
Was we went over those things in the class beforehand, but then as it developed, as we saw the size of it, our guide said, you all have to swim as hard as you can to get back to this boat if you fall off.
Oh, man.
He kind of said, forget like the simple thing, like all the little things, right. Those.
Yeah.
You have to swim as hard. Do not like wait.
Do not depend on anyone else.
Do not play. Right. Do not go toes first. You swim as hard as you can back to this boat. And that just put the fear of God in all of us, you know, right away.
Yeah, like, man.
Forget all the tips.
This isn't fun anymore.
You have to get back to this boat because there was only like two boats and they were leaving like every, I don't know how long, but it was just two of us.
Yeah.
So if you don't get back to it, he's basically saying there's a lot of water traps, you know, there's a lot of
things. There's a lot of chances for you to get washed away and not come back.
You don't want to spend any time in this water.
Yeah, right.
So we're like, oh my gosh. Yeah, I remember that. But I'm glad yours was good.
Yeah, no, it was awesome. And then I ended up leaving on Sunday, but like there's some natural waterfall slides and stuff that like the rest of them did on the next couple of days. And they have this, I think it's called Cucumber Falls, which is it's like the tallest what do they call it? It's a type of waterfall where like it falls over, but there's a lot of space behind it. So you can go behind it and you go inside of it. Like it's the type of name of waterfall, but it's like the biggest one in Pennsylvania or something, or the East Coast. So that was pretty cool. They got some pictures of that. And one of the things that I did, which is kind of cool, is that because Friday was Nicole's birthday, we actually celebrated it. Had the party on Saturday because there were more people there that day. And I gave her two of the sheep shear knives, which I've talked about before, like two of them were for her specifically. But when we got that pair that she really liked, it had a metal like collar around the blades when they were shut to keep it shut, you know, so like for shipping and stuff. And she really liked that collar. So she asked me to like somehow incorporate that into the handle. So I did that. I like without her, you know, I did it secretly or whatever. And so I, you know, had that all ready and then presented it to her. So I had it boxed up and stuff. So that was kind of cool to be able to give her those knives, and she really liked that and liked how I'd, you know, worked the collar thing around. And so it actually ended up looking kind of like a cigar because it's got like a circle and then two bands and like wraps around the back end of the handle. You know, so like if you just saw just that without anything else, you'd be like, oh, that's kind of like a cigar.
It's a boy.
Yeah, right, exactly. But that was cool. And they had the AOC etch mark on them, which is cool.
You know? Nice. Yeah, I think it's sweet. It's getting late. I want to wrap it up. But before, if that's okay with you.
Yeah.
Now that it's legal, I'll tell a little story. Mm-hmm. Well, that this was at the bachelor party. So, of course, there's alcohol and plenty of stuff, but one person made weed muffins, right?
Uh-huh.
Or with some type of oil or something in it. And then that morning before we went water rafting, I was hungry and almost ate one.
Oh.
And having partaken later that night of half of one, if I would have eaten one and had to do those rapids, I would have been laying on the bottom of that boat, like not moving in like a fetal position. And I was I just saw, you know, it's one of those things, you have a big group of people, there's a bunch of food out on the counters, and he just had them in a thing. I was like, oh, muffins. Geez. But then I was like, I don't really want to eat a muffin right now, but I was that close.
Oh, man, that's crazy.
I was that close to being blasted off on a rocket ship.
Oh,
and then,
my gosh,
this already terrifying, you know, stone sober
right
trip. And then later on I saw him eating one or whatever, and then someone said like, oh yeah, he made those up there, whatever they are. I was like,
yeah, pot.
Wait, what are those? I was like, you just let you. I almost ate one this morning because we were all joking about how kind of crazy the trip was.
Yeah, right.
But I think that person may have had one or half of one before on his own, which is, I would not have made it. I don't know what would happen. It would not have been good.
One of the other things I was thinking, like when you're saying laying in the bottom of the boat, when they were giving us all the direction beforehand, it was like, you know, we'll do this. This is all like how we're going to all the direction to move forward, paddle forward, back, whatever, blah, 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 blah. And then he said, sometimes I'll say lean in. So just like lean in toward the middle of the boat. And that's like if we're going to bump into a rock and it might, you know, throw us off balance. So he'll say, I'll say lean in. And then he said, and if it's in like a really rough situation, I might tell you to like lean in and get down. So basically that means like lean in, but then also like crouch down in the bottom of the boat as much as you can. You know, if it was like a really crazy situation, and he never had to say that. Like there were multiple times like, all right, everybody lean in, you know, cause we're just like sliding sideways and we bump into like another boat or, you know, a big rock or something. So, but yeah, I was like, well, that's good. He never had to tell us to like lean in and get down, shut up, nice. Get down.
Right. I would have been hanging. I would have been all leaned in.
I know. Yeah. Well, there was one time
leaned
where
in,
like
laid down,
you know, like I know like, in the front of the boat, I would watch like when we would like go down into a dip and come up over, right? So I would like, I'd lean forward and back based off of those movements. And there was one time where we like, it was a pretty good drop in, you know, it might've been whatever, 2 or 3 feet, like, but in a 10-foot long boat that really like tips the boat up and down, you know, like, so, so I like leaned back, but then I like slipped off the seat behind me that I was kind of like half on. And so I like fell back into David's lap and I'm like trying to get up once we got through the thing, I'm like pushing up. There's nothing to grab onto. And I'm like laying back on him. Like, I guess I leaned back a little too far. But it's like,
Yeah, that was another thing. I never felt secure because, you're sitting on the edge of a rounded thing. You've got a big vest on, so you don't have like your full movement. You've got something in
your hands.
You're
trying to tuck your feet in, but like
you have,
not thing, really
you have
great,
this
yeah.
thing that you have to hold on to. You know, you don't want to lose that.
You're not,
but you're
you
also
can't
trying
just
to
grab the boat.
Yeah, it was a weird thing. Yeah, but there we go.
Good times.
White Water Rafting Podcast. In the book. I'll do my recommendation. I've been watching the series, Tested, doing a Starfield series of them putting together the Starfield spaceship, which is a
awesome
game I'm excited for. And I love Tested, and I love the like model making stuff that they do. So it's like this perfect triangle of stuff I already love and like and watching it. It's great. And they're going in depth. Like,
yeah.
The last episode, he just made like a railing, and they just made like the back ramp of it.
Yeah.
But it was like 35 minutes long, and it feels back to form with them. Right. Now they used to make videos where they have a camera guy and they shoot it and they talk about stuff. It's like a full production.
Yeah.
And it's great.
It is great. And it was, I've also been watching them, and like, it's fun hearing everyone get really excited about different stuff. You know, like there was at one point where, at the end of that episode where he made the railing, he was like, he was talking to one of the other girls who's like predominantly a model painter. And he was talking about how he used a dry brush and a wet brush and back and forth or something. And she was like, oh, she was like all super excited about this, like little teeny detail and model, you know, I know. It was like, it was so fun to see how excited they got over those type of things. Yeah. It's cool. You know, it's a really cool series, and like what they're making is really cool, and they're making it like, if you said that, but they're making a spaceship that will then be a motion capture, whatever. They'll use it for actual like shots or something.
And actually, I think I saw just recently they came out with a live action like trailer for it.
Mm.
It's like a 2-minute trailer. And I was like, well, maybe that was it. Like, I was trying to see, because there's a lot of shots of that spaceship.
Right, yeah.
So then that may have been what it was. I hope that's what it was used for, that they actually got to use it. Because it's kind of a cool trailer.
Yeah, yeah.
But.
Nice.
Yeah, check it out. It's good. It's like the first one's 50 minutes. The second one's like 35. It's awesome. I can't wait for more.
Nice. All right. Well, so my recommendation this week is Lee John Phillips on Instagram. He's a spoon carver and a
LJP.
Old LJP. he does a lot of like decorative geometric carvings and things on spoons, on the handles, and he'll also do like knife handles and all sorts of different things. So it's really cool. And I've actually been looking at his stuff a lot because, for Maker Camp, for the Maker Swap, I want to make the big timber framed mallet, you know, like the big hammer, the persuader hammer, but I want to do some cool carving and something on it as well. So I've been looking at different things, and I kind of like the way he does it. He'll kind of map out like a grid of triangles, you know, and then each one, he'll cut down in at an angle so it makes a pyramid, you know, like an interior pyramid. But then we'll do a whole bunch of them next to each other in different patterns and stuff. And he's got really cool ways of doing it. But I was kind of flipping through Instagram, and I saw he just made a carving knife and did a kind of an interesting handle with some really cool carving on it and stuff. So I've been following him for a while, and he does really beautiful drawings. Like, he'll do a lot of plan work, especially because I think he also teaches a lot of spoon carving classes and like decorative pattern, you know, carving and stuff. And so he'll do these kind of how-to drawings, and or he'll do a drawing that's got, you know, 20 different spoon designs and stuff. And they're all very, very like blueprint style, drafting style drawings, which I love that type of, you know, informative drawing. So there's a lot of really cool things that he does, but yeah, you can check him out. Again, that's Lee John Phillips on Instagram, all spelled the way that it sounds. It'll be in the show notes.
Sweet.
Yeah, man.
Good to be back.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know we missed a few, like we missed 1 week, and then 2 weeks ago we missed one.
Yeah.
We're trying, we're busy, we got videos coming. Dustin is rocking with the shorts, getting a bunch of views and keeping stuff out. We got a bunch of stuff coming. It's just going to be a fall winter thing, is we're going to be full blast in January. I'm going to be bored and over at Dustin's all the time. We'll continue making stuff.
Yeah, we have a guest coming up. If you know Daniel Donnelly from Donnelly Brother Metalworks on Instagram, he just finished a really awesome, an entire year of splitting wood every single day and making a reel of it every day and posting.
Did he finish?
Yeah, he finished it about a week and a half ago.
Oh, cool.
So, so we're going to have him on next week, hopefully. And if not next week, we'll have him very soon. We'll talk about that. He's a super awesome, like young axe guy who is like very passionate and has done a lot of really cool things to like bring the axe community on Instagram together. He's kind of pushed a lot. So he's a really cool dude. So we're excited to have him on. So we'll have him on soon, hopefully next week.
Cool.
All right, everybody. Well, thank you all for listening. Make sure you guys don't forget, you can always, like, please head over to YouTube, check out our videos, subscribe, like, let us know what you think. If you like the shorts, you know, let me know. They are doing okay. Like, out of the three, the first two both have over 10,000 views, and then the third one has about, like, almost 7,000 views. So they're kind of just like, they're doing okay. They're doing really well on Instagram, which is great. My first one has almost 100,000 views on it, and then the spatula, which I just put up, has over 50,000 views, and then the ladle has over 20,000 views. So they're doing really well, getting me some good traction. I almost have 10,000 followers on Instagram, so you can head over to Instagram and follow there if you're not already. You can follow me at The Art of Craftsmanship, and you can follow Devin at The Art of Camera Guy. And lastly, if you want to support what we do here on The Art of Craftsmanship and the podcast and the YouTube channel and the events that we want to go to and the stuff we do, you guys can head over to patreon.com/ The Art of Craftsmanship, and you can support us there. And all those people who do, we absolutely appreciate it to the nth degree, and all of that money goes right back into making the channel better for you guys. So know that all that will go right back into what we do for the channel. Other than that, that's all for now. Everybody, thank you guys so much for listening. Devin, always a pleasure. Yeah. Everybody else, we will talk to you next time.